This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, we'll still find stuff to talk about, but the news might be a little thin. Typically, that's what it's like heading into a major holiday. But my goodness, there is some very interesting news out here on this, Tuesday morning here. Some very interesting Montana news. One of the stories I was going to start the show off with here this morning, you know, you never really know what we're going to talk about. I thought I printed this thing up, but must not have printed up for me here. There's a story. I think it's almost 100 different mayors and city leaders in Minnesota. Yeah, I swear I printed that story up, but I know another place I can find it here real fast. But basically, they're raising concerns about the state of Minnesota because they've got so many budget problems right now. They're talking about billions of dollars of deficits, and then of course, what's their natural reaction? They're going to try to raise taxes again, which only makes things worse. I'll find that story for you. We'll get to that story. Oh, yeah, here it is right here. 98 Minnesota mayors warn that state fiscal policies are fueling deficits and higher local taxes. A group of 98 Minnesota mayors raising these concerns, saying that the state's fiscal policies have impacted their cities and their residents, noting a disappearing $18 billion surplus and a projected $2.9 billion to $3 billion deficit for the 2028 to 2029 biennium. Hey, Somalia thanks you, Minnesota. Good job, Governor Tim Walz. Wow, nearly 100 Minnesota mayors. Anyway, that's the story I was going to start with. But let's get to some very interesting Montana news here this morning first. Literally, I just saw this story. So I was doing my normal round of show prep here. You know, of course, you check the national sources. You check the great conservative sites. Although I forgot to get to the Federalist. I need to get to the Federalist this morning as well here. Of course, that's another can't-miss one. But I checked out the KTVQ television website. One of the Montana Television Network stations, of course. Montana ruling shrinks sex offender database. What is going on here? Very interesting report by Andrea Lutz for Q2 News here. My goodness, I wish I had seen this story yesterday, but it didn't come out till last night. Because yesterday we had, you know, Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage with us in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of this show, and we were talking all sorts of judicial news, and talking about the far left mob that still has the majority on our Montana Supreme Court, and then we had Judge Dan Wilson in right after that, who is the candidate for the Montana Supreme Court next year, and we were talking about what a train wreck the far left mob running the Montana Supreme Court is and has been, and the judicial activism. And my goodness, if you didn't think the Supreme Court elections here in Montana mattered before, maybe this story will wake you up. So apparently, the Sexual and Violent Offender Registry is undergoing major changes following a Montana Supreme Court ruling that limits what information the state can share. Basically, the far-left mob on the Montana Supreme Court just gave a massive handout to sex offenders.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, some patchy fog possible to start. Otherwise, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures climbing up into the upper 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 30s for Billings, closer to the middle 30s for Bozeman. And into Wednesday, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine with highs in the low to mid-50s. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The announcer here. I can hear the music in the background there, but I had to go get some coffee. I had to go refill the coffee, and it was like slow brewing. I'm like, come on, coffee, finish. I think I got time before I run back upstairs to be live on the radio again. Oh, I barely made it. All right, here we go. Man, so much to talk about here on this, Tuesday morning. Another very interesting story. I'm going to get back to this Supreme Court sex offender story here, because holy cow, this is just absolutely insane. This is just absolutely insane. The people that the Democrats care more about, the people that the Democrats protect, and the people that the Democrats put at risk, is just insane. I mean, my goodness, they flood this country with illegal aliens, and then they bash the men and women in law enforcement that are working to deport the criminal illegal aliens. And then here's another example in Montana. This is insane. But another story that caught my eye, this was a story by Kayla Spaler. Now, Kayla's always done a pretty decent job as a reporter over the years, but unfortunately she works for this liberal blog, Democrat dark money funded outfit known as the Daily Montanan. But this is a really interesting story. Pastor and realtors reach settlement on discrimination/religious liberty dispute. Do you guys remember the case of Pastor Brandon Huber in Missoula? And remember how the Missoula Realtors Association, the Missoula Organization of Realtors, basically targeted this guy because of his Christian beliefs? They basically said, well, you know, you're not allowed to preach your Christian stuff and be a real estate agent in Missoula. It was insane. It was outrageous. Well, now there's finally a big breakthrough in his case. And let me just give you want the short and skinny rundown on this story here? The short and skinny rundown on this story is basically, thank you, Donald J. Trump and the Trump Justice Department. And I'll bet you we can say a big thank you to Harmeet Dhillon, who we've gotten to meet, who's been on the show with us, who is now basically the head of the Civil Rights Division at the U.S. Department of Justice. You remember when the Department of Justice and President Trump talked about how they were going to start going after anti-Christian bigotry and discrimination in America? Well, what basically happened to Pastor Brandon Huber in Missoula? Anti-Christian bigotry and hatred. And by the way, the Billings Association of Realtors was pushing some of the same kind of nonsense and pulling some of the same kind of stunts after the whole drag queen story hour targeting kids at Zoo Montana took place a few years ago. You guys remember that one? And so anyway, they got nipped in the bud pretty quickly there. But this Missoula case had just kept languishing on. In this story, I think it's called the Liberty Institute, specifically mentions how, well, you know, everything started at Liberty Council. That's who it was. Liberty Council is the organization that got involved here. They specifically mentioned how, well, the Department of Justice had taken an interest in the case. Oh, you don't say. The Trump Justice Department takes an interest in a case, and then all of a sudden things start happening here. Things start happening here. Anyway, very interesting story. Good news update there. It'll be interesting in hearing more about that case. All right, back to the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, which just shows you how nuts the Montana Democrats are. And anybody who would put a D behind their name right now and run for office as a Democrat, this is what you stand for. This is your party. A Montana Supreme Court ruling will scale back the sex offender registry, meaning photos and convictions in some cases will no longer be visible. Apparently, the decision affects more than 1,100 sexual and violent offenders in Montana, including those who are Tier 3, the highest risk offenders to the community. The order removes or reduces long-standing requirements for people convicted before newer registry laws were enacted. Photos, convictions, and living or working restrictions are no longer publicly available in those cases, prompting concern from law enforcement and community members. And you read this piece, and this is crazy. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson said this. This is kind of some horrifying stuff that our Supreme Court has put us through, he's saying. Knutson says that this 2023 ruling now means that over a thousand offenders on the registry will have identifying information stripped from public view. This is the Hinman versus Montana case. Now they're having to go basically remove people from this list and put more people at risk as a result of this. And here's a quote from Attorney General Austin Knutson talking about basically this left-wing mob, the Montana Democrats that have the operating functional majority on our Montana Supreme Court. He says this: I think the big takeaway is they are more worried about the poor sex offenders than they are about the public and their safety, than the victims of these sexual predators. State officials say enforcement efforts continue even as legal limits tighten. Here you go. I mean, once again, just like you see the far left Democrats at the national level backing criminal illegal aliens, sex offenders, murderers, et cetera, over everyday people, you see the same thing right here with the Montana Democrats in charge of the Montana Supreme Court. That's why getting Judge Dan Wilson on the Montana Supreme Court next year is absolutely critical.
Securing America.
Monday, the president announced a new investment in Navy shipbuilding, beginning with two new battleships that will spearhead what is being called the Trump-class Golden Fleet.
Each one of these will be the largest battleship in the history of our country.
The president discussing the need for new Navy ships.
Some of them have gotten old and tired and obsolete.
Secretary of War Pete Hegseth called the plan a generational investment.
We are developing new operational concepts, deploying cutting-edge technologies, and making major investments, including in our Navy.
Secretary of the Navy John Phelan says the new ships will be the most versatile and deadliest on the seas, featuring
offensive firepower from the biggest guns of our era.
Those will include technologies still under development, such as hypersonic missiles and lasers. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, a new USDA labeling rule takes effect on January 1st, tightening standards for when meat, poultry, and egg products may be identified as a product of the United States. Under the regulation, finalized in March of 2024, companies may use labels such as product of USA or made in USA only if the animals were born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States. U.S. Cattlemen's Association President and South Dakota producer Justin Tupper says, while these updates represent a significant milestone, USCA has consistently emphasized that mandatory and clear and enforceable origin transparency still remains their long-term objective.
The problem with it is it's voluntary, and I think what we'll see instead of these companies mixing and matching and using all this and putting a product of USA label on, they just won't use the product of the USA label because they no longer can because they're wanting to mix it with some of that cheaper foreign beef and they won't be able to put that label on. So I think we need to continue to work. It's a beginning. It closes a loophole. And maybe some of these small and regional packers or some of these that's all they do is USA beef, they may use that label and maybe they'll find some traction and success with it. And we hope they do. But it's all about trying to get the transparency back to the consumer so they know exactly what they're buying. And again, I say this all the time, that we're not scared of competition, so we just want them to know what they're buying.
Meanwhile, critics warn that the product of USA meat labeling rule could strain trade ties, in particular with Canada and Mexico, and discourage imports of live animals. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. Attention cattle producers, the consignment deadline for the Western Video Market sale at North Platte Stockyards is coming up fast. It's December 29th. Don't miss your chance to consign your cattle for the big WVM sale on January 6th in North Platte, Nebraska. Get your cattle listed today and take advantage of this great opportunity to reach top buyers. Contact your local Western Video rep today or visit WVMcattle.com. Let the professionals at Western Video Market go to work for you.
Montana ranchers, as you plan for the year ahead, make sure your beef is on the map. The Montana Beef Directory is a free resource from the Montana Beef Council that helps connect consumers with ranchers selling beef across the state. We're aiming for at least one rancher from every county, and we would love to add you. Sign up this holiday season at MontanaBeefCouncil.org.
Come on and let's eat, because Montana loves beef.
Well, congressional Republicans plan to revive stalled farm bill negotiations in January after failing to pass a new measure by year's end, extending uncertainty for producers facing high input costs, inflation, and trade disruptions. The delay means that Congress will enter a third year without updating major agricultural policy. And finally this morning, as we head towards Christmas on Thursday, 7 in 10 consumers expect food prices to affect their holiday meal plans. According to a recent study of those, 1 in 4 say they'll buy fewer items of less variety and serve less food overall. Altogether, 69% said that they expected prices to affect their holiday meal plans, up from 61% in 2022 and 67% in 2023. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. I think we got a message on the Montana Talks app. And by the way, the phone lines are open for you as well here this morning. We do have some guests coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. 8 o'clock hour is wide open. John Jackson, the Joker from X, he's going to be spending some time with family this week. So well-deserved time off. Unfortunately for you, we don't get to be joined by the Joker this morning. But don't worry, next week he's going to be in a lot next week. So you guys are going to have a ton of fun. Next week. Just got a message from Tim in Savage. He said, I had seen that headline. I was talking about this just crazy news about how the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court has now forced people to be dropped from the sex offender registry here in Montana, about 1,000 people being dropped from the sexual and violent offender registry, including some Tier 3 high-risk offenders. That big story reported by Andrea Lutz with KTVQ Television. Tim and Savage says, I had seen that headline, but hoped I had misunderstood the decision. Changes to the SVOR is very disappointing. It really is crazy to see the way that these guys will try to make everyday innocent, law-abiding citizens criminals. But then they let actual criminals off the hook. This is again, I think, a major theme that we've seen here in America in recent years is this anarcho-tyranny, where it's tyranny for you and it's anarchy for the criminals. I mean, you see this just on display all across the country, and you see it even on display here in Montana with these far-left activist judges and these far-left activist justices on the Montana Supreme Court. It's tyranny for you. We talked a lot yesterday about the Held 2.0 with Speaker Lear and then also with Judge Dan Wilson, who's running for the Montana Supreme Court. And they're pushing this radical climate alarmist agenda, and they're trying to embed it into every single decision here. They're forcing it into every single decision here in the state. Again, it's about tyranny for you. But, they're going to remove sex offenders from the sexual and violent offender registry because it's anarchy for the criminals, anarchy for the sex offenders, but tyranny for everyday Americans, tyranny for everyday Montanans. This is how the left operates. This is how the left operates time and time again. This is why they're attacking Border Patrol agents in Whitefish, throwing things at their Border Patrol vehicles, trying to block them from carrying out their duties. because again, it's about anarcho-tyranny. It's about tyranny for everyday Americans, tyranny for everyday Montanans, and anarchy for the illegal aliens. And that goes back to this Minnesota story that I was actually going to start this hour of the show with, where 98 mayors in Minnesota are calling out the state officials, in other words, basically pointing out how Tim Walz has screwed everything up. Now they're facing billions of dollars in deficits. But, boy, I tell you what, the Somalis sure benefit. Hey, by the way, you just heard Tanya Powers there in that Fox News update, and we've actually got Tanya Powers with us on the phone line from Fox News Radio right now. Tanya, great to have you on the show and get an opportunity to lighten things up for a couple of minutes here after a lot of the serious news we've been covering here this morning. Okay, before people head out for Christmas, there's some crazy new words they're going to want to know about if they're going to be interacting with the younger folks. What are the crazy new words that have caught your eye?
We have, there's quite a few. There's a couple that have may have worked their way into the public consciousness a little bit more than the rest of them. One of the terms is 6-7. This has been all over the place on social media, especially for the last year. I'm assuming that you're familiar with this one, right?
Yeah, I've heard it referenced a bunch, and then even, you know, the pastors in their sermons are throwing in the 6-7 reference, and the kids laugh, and the parents are like, huh, what? What's going on?
That sounds about right. I mean, every generation has, you know, their own slang, which makes the parents and grandparents look at them and like, I don't even know what you're saying right now. What does this mean? You know, and you kind of have to wonder, like, am I being punked? What's going on? 6-7 is one of those things where it can kind of function as a call and response. It doesn't really mean anything other than it's kind of an understanding between two or more people. If you know, sort of thing. The best way I've heard it described to be that it gets used kind of in practical scenarios is one of the hosts I was speaking with earlier this morning has a Gen Alpha son. Gen Alpha, remember, they're born between 2010 and now. So this is the age group we're talking about here. And she said her Gen Alpha son, as she asked him, okay, well, how many strawberries do you want? And he'll be like 6-7, you know, like, and, you know, every time that he manages to work this in, if ever a number is called for with whatever the answer to the question that she or her husband have asked their son, it's always going to end up 6-7. That's always going to be the answer, no matter what the answer actually is. That's what he's going to say.
And what about this term, skibbity? Skibbity, I know we've only got you for about another minute or so. What is that term all about?
Skibbity is kind of gibberish, honestly. It is a reference to a YouTube series, Skibbity Toilet. And if you've got a spare hour today and you want to go down that rabbit hole, that's quite interesting. It is an animated series with mobile toilets and human heads popping out of the bowl. But skibbity gets thrown in a lot of, you know, like almost as a substitute word sometimes. It is used in a whole lot of different scenarios, but it's like I said, it's sort of gibberish. It really doesn't have an actual like meaning, you know what I mean?
So it's actual toilet talk. You know, we talk about toilet talk, and getting your head out of the gutter. This is actual toilet talk here is what this word skibbity means. Okay.
Well, maybe you could classify it as that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tanya J. Powers, I know you've got to run, but we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Sure.
Posey Winter Retreat, your whole family.
This is House Call for Health, a reminder from several organizations to plan sober rides during the holidays. AAA, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Waymo getting together with that unified message to prevent impaired driving. Plan safe rides home. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says during the December months from 2019 to 2023, drunk driving claimed more than 4,900 lives. Gene Bohm, president and CEO of AAA, says impaired driving is a preventable crisis and that as holiday travel picks up and winter weather weather sets in, the roadways become even more dangerous, especially when impaired driving is added to the mix. MAD CEO Stacy Stewart says AAA's commitment to road safety and Waymo's tech-forward approach align well with MAD's mission to put an end to impaired driving for good, and that the group is thrilled to join forces with both companies in MAD's relentless march towards that purpose. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, I don't think we helped any of you with your Christmas conversations, your Christmas dinner conversations, knowing what the young people are saying when they talk about 6-7 or skibbity or anything else. But that's all right. It was a little too fast of a conversation, a little too short on time there to try to get through it all. But I think even if we had more time, you'd still be scratching your heads like, what is this? So many interesting Montana news stories to get to here. There's a couple of big things that I wanted to spend more time on here that have just come in over the last few days. Actually, well, some of this stuff came in like Friday. And, you know, Friday is just a bad time to get news out because, hey, we're off the air and boom. And then it's a long weekend heading into the holiday. Well, not a long weekend, a short weekend heading into the holiday. But this is some very interesting stuff coming out of our Montana congressional delegation. Let me start with this one. Senator Steve Daines calling on the Department of Justice to defend Second Amendment rights and stand with lawful gun owners. So Senator Steve Daines, this is the one that came out Friday, joined Representative Andrew Clyde out of Georgia in leading a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice urging them to adopt the positions of the drafters of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act provision that eliminated the $200 National Firearms Act excise tax on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, also known as SBRs, short-barreled shotguns, SBSs, and any other weapons, and end its support for the unconstitutional NFA registration regime that remains. So I mentioned a great news story out of the Department of Justice just a few minutes ago where basically the Department of Justice had taken an interest in a case involving a Missoula real estate agent who was also a Christian pastor who very clearly was discriminated against because of his religious beliefs by the Missoula Organization of Realtors. And now a settlement has been released. Well, golly, Gomer, look at that. You know, the Missoula Organization of Realtors got away with anti-Christian bigotry and discrimination, but all of a sudden the U.S. Department of Justice takes an interest in the case, and boom, settlement reached. So that's a good news story out of the DOJ. But here's one where, hey, good job by Senator Steve Daines for putting pressure on the Justice Department here. This was a big one. I remember when the One Big Beautiful Bill was being discussed, and we would have, like, you know, Senator Sheehy and other folks on the radio, and we'd take phone calls. And this was a big one. In fact, I think we had Greg Simon, who is the general manager of KATQ Radio in Plentywood, actually join us on the show because he was paying very close attention to this provision in particular. Okay, big picture is this. What did the Democrats do when they were trying to block Black Americans from voting in the South? The Southern Democrats and the KKK would say, oh, you've got the right to vote, but you've got to pay this tax. You've got to pay a poll tax. Well, we're not taking away anybody's right to vote. If they want to vote, they just got to pay the poll tax like everybody else. And effectively, what did they do? They used the tax to take away or hinder the right to vote for Black Americans. Just one of the racist things that was done by the Democrat Party, especially in the South over the years. Okay, you have a right to vote. You also have a right to bear arms. You have Second Amendment right to own these guns. Oh, well, we're going to put a tax on it. And now we're going to basically require you to register that, you know, when you do this tax as well. Well, beautifully, the one big beautiful bill, you know, Republicans now have the White House, the House, and the Senate. And so included in the one big beautiful bill is this provision that says, okay, we're no longer going to be taxing people for this. We're no longer going to be putting this into this National Firearms Act excise tax on suppressors, SBRs, SBSs, et cetera. And so federal government complying and saying, okay, we're not going to charge people a tax to exercise their Second Amendment rights, but we're going to keep the old registry thing still in place here. By the way, I fully agree. Another thing that we need to do now that Republicans have the White House, the House, and the Senate is constitutional carry should be the law of the land all across the country. Finally, thanks to Republicans in Montana, we have effectively constitutional carry here in the state. But frankly, we have a Second Amendment. There should be constitutional carry all across America. I'm going to quote from the letter here. But a little background first here. Thanks to Senator Steve Daines' efforts in the Senate, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act contained a provision that reduced the $200 excise tax on all of these items for the first time ever by eliminating the NFA tax on certain firearms. It was the intent of those who worked to include the provision to repeal the transfer and registration requirements under the NFA for these firearms as well. Despite this intent, the DOJ has chosen to defend the constitutionality of the $0 tax in court. I'll read from the letter here. Quote, we write to inform the Department of Justice of Congress's position and intent regarding ongoing litigation challenging the NFA registration and transfer requirements for non-taxed NFA firearms. In enacting this bill into law, Congress affirmed its position that the taxation and registration provisions of the National Firearms Act are inseparably linked, and it expressed its intent to repeal the NFA's registration and transfer requirements by eliminating the associated taxes on certain firearms and silencers. In light of the department's recent filing opposing this interpretation, we must express our serious concern and disappointment that the Department of Justice has chosen to advance a theory that not only conflicts with Congress's express intent, but also disregards the constitutional structure upon which the NFA has rested since 1934. Therefore, we again urge the Department of Justice to adopt and advance Congress's stated position in all litigation concerning these provisions to ensure that congressional intent is accurately represented and upheld before the courts. In fact, when Congress reduced the Obamacare penalty to $0 during President Trump's first term, the Department of Justice refused to defend the underlying flawed law. The department is fully empowered to decline to defend statutory provisions that no longer rest on a valid constitutional basis. It has exercised that authority before, and it must do so again here. This time in defense of Americans' Second Amendment rights. So anyway, that was very important news that came out from Senator Steve Daines on Friday, but we were already basically wrapping up the show when that news came out. So I wanted to get to that one here today for sure. Something else that came out of our congressional delegation last week as well, there was a press release. It was titled this, Downing Daines Sheehy introduce bill to increase access to public lands and improve forest management. And this one is very interesting and smart move here by Congressman Troy Downing and Senator Steve Daines, Senator Sheehy as well. Basically, one of the things it will do is it will change the designation of some of these lands. They'll continue to be public lands. The public lands will continue to be in public hands, but this will restore public access to these public lands. So for those of you that don't know, we have actual wilderness, right? So you've got actual wilderness areas here in Montana. That's a legal designation. That means there's a lot of things you cannot do in an actual wilderness area because, you know, these are areas that Congress has agreed upon that, hey, we're going to leave these areas untouched, right? And you can't even bring a chainsaw into these wilderness areas, right? But then there's other lands that are designed to be multiple use and have lots of different uses. And, of course, you can bring your chainsaws and, drive your e-bikes or whatever you want to do, right? Well, wilderness areas go through a formal process in Congress, just like passing a law, right? But one thing the deep state has been doing, though, is that in the far left, is they push these wilderness study areas to where they effectively can treat land as if it's wilderness, lock the public out, totally limit your access without going through and following the actual process and, public comment and getting the law changed to declare it as wilderness area. And so that's what they are working to fix with this legislation, is to restore public access to these so-called public lands here. So anyway, that was another big one that came out last week, in case you guys missed that one. So like I say, a lot of interesting stuff in the news here in Montana. And by the way, I saw the Montana Farm Bureau was in Washington last week, and they came out in support of this effort regarding the wilderness study areas as well.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now, there's going to be a big debate. Republicans refuse to double down on dumb, dumber, and stupid, and that is the failure of Obamacare. And what Democrats now want to do, remember, they own Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. They own it. They passed it through reconciliation by, I think, a vote. Everything they promised has failed, and failed spectacularly. Millions lose their doctors and plans, and the average family didn't save $2,500 a year. We're paying between 225% to 300% more, and prices are continuing to go up. And why would we continue to fund a failed program?
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you've heard me talk about Ease, the official health solution, right here on the Sean Hannity Show. Now that all the noise about Obamacare subsidies is thankfully behind us, at least for now, I want you and your family to focus on the best health care for the best price. Now, Ease Total Comprehensive Health is great for small business owners, and it also is better coverage for a lower price than what they're offering from the government. It's not insurance. It's better. It has no deductibles, no out-of-network nonsense. It costs much less than traditional plans. It comes with a free service that will help everyone find the best care. Plus, the folks that distribute Ease will show you how to stay compliant with the ACA. Now, if you own or work for a small business, you got to check out this company. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your employees. Call them now, 888-888-EASE-123, or go to their website, EASEFOREVERYONE.com/Sean. 888-EASE-123.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, some patchy fog possible to start. Otherwise, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures climbing up into the upper 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 30s for Billings, closer to the middle 30s for Bozeman. And into Wednesday, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine with highs in the low to mid 50s. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
President Trump posting to Truth Social in all caps, "I love Montana," as he announces his approval of an emergency disaster declaration for the state of Montana following these big storms and flooding that we've had here recently. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I shared that story on our Montana Talks website, and kind of funny to see how some of the liberals are reacting. Oh, he's only helping Montana because he loves Montana. He's helping the blue cities too.
Farmers.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What do we got coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show? Actually, some really good stuff for you coming up here live, too, by the way. The week of Christmas, we've got some brand new content, some guests joining us live in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. This was another big story that came out last week, and I thought, you know what, we'll talk about that a little bit more when we have a guest join us on the program to break it down with a little bit more detail. So you guys probably heard about this, that that Bozeman will be the site of a brand new U.S. patent and trademark office. They're bringing a U.S. patent and trademark office to Bozeman, which, you know, when you think about all the tech companies in the Bozeman area, the tech companies in Montana, people coming up with new technology, things like that. At least when I saw this, I thought, wow, this is great news for manufacturers and folks in tech here in Montana to have a U.S. patent and trademark office be located in Bozeman. Apparently, the office is the first of its kind in the western United States. Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy both applauded this news. But we've actually got Sarah Swanson, who is the commissioner of the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. She's going to break down what this news means for Montana. That's going to be coming up, I think, around 7:40. I think our friend Sarah Swanson is going to join us on the show. Before that, we've got Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar is going to kick off the 7 o'clock hour of the show. We had a really fun conversation with State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff a while back, talking about energy and data centers in Montana. And then, of course, Brad Molnar, he's got a lot of interesting insight when it comes to data centers in Montana, energy issues, et cetera, due to his role on the PSC and his previous role on the PSC. So he's going to be with us talking data centers coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I mentioned the Montana Farm Bureau leadership was in Washington, D.C. last week. And, yeah, the week, according to a press release from the Montana Farm Bureau, kicked off with a high-level meeting with Karen Bud Phelan, the Associate Deputy Secretary at the Department of the Interior. And I've had Karen on the show multiple times, and I probably mispronounced her name there. I'm always like, okay, is it Bud Phelan or Bud Fallon? I know Lane Norland would correct me, but it's kind of like our friend Jerry Schillinger in Circle. I'm like, okay, is it Schillinger? Is it Schillinger? And great guy. I've talked with him for decades on this show now, it seems. And I'm always like, okay, wait a minute. Which way? Yeah. It's like a joke with the Regeer family. It's the same way. I know their name's been pronounced about 8 different ways over the years. But anyway, so they meet with this top official, the Department of Interior, and along with many of their Western State Farm Bureau colleagues, the group advocated for the elimination of these wilderness study areas, which have remained in study status for over 40 years without resolution. They also promoted the need for grizzly bear and gray wolf delisting. They expressed concerns about a reversal in sage-grouse management, discussed Colorado River issues, and showed support for updating the grazing rules as well. So, yeah, but that was the big one here. You know, I mentioned that there was this legislation backed by Senator Tim Sheehy, Senator Steve Daines, and Congressman Troy Downing to open up the public access on these so-called public lands by changing the designation from wilderness study areas. You know, if you're going to study something to become wilderness, you'd think they'd be like, okay, you've been studying it for 40 years now. Are you going to restore the public access, or are you going to continue to deny public access and make it harder to fight wildfires and all these other things? So, yeah, very interesting stuff. All right, quick break. Hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation regarding data centers or whatever, feel free. Send us a message on the app. But, yeah, looking forward to it. We've got Brad Molnar coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. And then Art Laffer in the 9 o'clock hour talking property taxes. I've been looking forward to that one for a while.
From the Mattress Firm.
Here's the deal. We got to set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We got to make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up. to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.